This is Dave Glowatz. Welcome to another in my series of interviews with Ben Jarofsky, who writes on government and politics for the Chicago Reader, and who's here with me today. Welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you, Dave. We've taken the show on the road,
so to speak. Mm-hmm. Today we're talking about your article that appeared in the Reader on March 29th, 2012, and is titled, How Rahm Emanuel Can, Quote, Save, Unquote, the Schools. You remember this article.
Yes, it's coming back.
You describe in this article the state of Chicago public schools and how some are doing quite well and some not, and providing that as a context for Mayor Emanuel's drive for a system-wide 7.5-hour school day. First, a little fact-checking. You have a statistic in here that 9 of the 10 top-scoring grammar schools in the state come from Chicago Public Schools. What's the source of that?
The Illinois State Board of Education. Go to their website. Didn't we have the link on the story to their website? No.
No.
If you go to the Illinois Board of Education website and you go to their, gosh, it's a very complicated website. I always forget how to get there. But if you just navigate around, you'll find the test scores for all the schools. And let me just say this about that. You know, I really hate ranking schools by test scores, partly because I think it's just an incomplete barometer of what schools do and how kids perform. Also, from a special or personal reason, I was not a very good test taker. And look how far I've come in the world, Dave.
You're here.
I'm here, right. I'm here in your lovely house. But since that is the barometer that's used by most people in terms of measuring the value of a school, that being the test score that the kids do, I just thought I'd throw it out there. And now these schools that are the 9 out of the top 10 are what I call smart kid schools. By that I mean their enrollment is limited to the smartest of the smart who take a test to get in there. Gifted is what they call them. My point is that these schools, as well as the schools that are scoring really poorly on these state tests, are all required to increase their school day under the notion that they all can do better. So the real point is that there's just sort of an absurdity to Mayor Emanuel's proclamation, and an absurdity, Dave, that shows the mayor really doesn't know much about the school system that he's overseeing. I would argue further, he doesn't know much about the city that he's overseeing, but we'll stick to the schools
for
the
moment. That's a story for another day.
Yes. Anyway, it's just so absurd, this notion that you must spend more time in school because you're not doing well enough. Well, you're the best in the state. What do you want them to do? They're scoring at 100%. In other words, all the kids in the school are scoring either at or above the norm. What do you want them to do? Backflips?
Let's pursue this idea that it's the mayor's drive. You know, you surmise that the mayor won't back down from this one-size-fits-all longer school day because he essentially wants to put a check mark next to a campaign pledge. I mean, he's not a stupid guy, right? But is he that obtuse that he simply wants it the way he originally said just because he said so?
Excellent question.
Ignoring parents' input?
Well, let's put aside the whole issue of whether he's stupid. I do not believe Mayor Emanuel is stupid. I don't think the issue is stupidity. In other words, this may be a half-baked idea, but I don't think it's the idea of a person who is unintelligent. I think it's the idea of a person who's incredibly willful and is used to getting what he wants.
So it's stubbornness.
In this case, it's stubbornness. Now, he may eventually, as I say in the article, be forced to compromise on the extent of the extra time. But there's so many issues at play here, Dave. The paramount issue is, so what are you going to do with the extra time? You're mandating extra time. You're not giving schools money to supplement it with any kind of program. What do you want the teachers to do? Just literally like read to the kids? Just, you know, show videos to the kids? Trot out a computer for the kids? My kids are all older and are out of the system, but I know that if we were involved in this, I'm sure my wife and I would be livid. This notion that the mayor of the city of Chicago is going to make this ultimatum, this mandate that's going to screw up the workings of the school that our kids go to. So I share the anguish and frustration of parents who are trying to make sense out of an ultimatum that makes no sense.
And the Chicago Public Schools has reported a possible annual budget deficit of $1 billion by 2014. Have you seen any indication that the school board or the administration knows how they're going to pay for the increased costs a longer school day would incur?
None. Well, first of all, you raised two really interesting points in that one question, which is what is the actual nature of the financial state of the Chicago public schools. I've long since learned not to believe anything, and I think you actually share this with me, this disbelief in anything our city or public schools say about their finances. So I don't know what their long-term condition is. I presume that it's in their best interest to inflate the amount of deficit they're going to face because they're in negotiations with teachers. So they want to say, we would love to give you more money, teachers, but we're facing a $1 billion deficit. Somehow or other, the budget was balanced in August when they passed their budget. So now suddenly it's, it's really $1 billion? Yeah.
They made a projection that it could be $1 billion.
Wow, could be anything. It could be an elephant. So my advice to our millions of listeners is not to believe anything they tell you when it comes to their finances. So this other issue is, how are they going to pay for it for a longer school day? And I work from the assumption that in addition to not believing anything they say about finances, there's always some money somewhere. And so, for instance, in terms of the longer school day, this began with a concerted PR campaign at the start of this school year, where the mayor and his school board allies or employees, whatever you want, appointees, teamed up with the Chicago Tribune editorial board to try to force teachers throughout the city to accept a longer day. And as part of that inducement, I believe it was $75,000 per school minimum plus a certain allowance for each teacher in the school. So suddenly the school system that was too broke to pay for their contractual obligation for a pay hike for the teachers had money to pay for this inducement for a longer school day. So I would guess that they could probably find the money to pay for the longer school day out of the same honeypot that they found, miraculously found, hidden under a desk in the central office in the warehouse somewhere.
Well, World Business Chicago, now that it doesn't have to pay for the G8 part of the summit, maybe they can just pony up that cash.
David, you're becoming as much of a wise guy as I am. Yes, I just think there's money there. I've come to this conclusion. I've written it before, David. I think the city is wealthier than they let on. They pick and choose when to cry poverty. I believe that it's true that we're taxed to the hilt and that it's difficult to get taxpayers to pay more money in taxes, but there's reservoirs of cash, as we've discussed, that they have access to if they want to pay for something like recess. This is all we're really talking about. It'll come down to recess. I believe they can afford that.
Speaking of recess, that's all we've got time for. Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader, thanks for joining me today.
We'll end it with that one.
If you want to hear more of my interviews with Ben, check MrRadio.org, where you'll find instructions how to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss a single interview. Or you can go to iTunes and search for Ben Jarofsky or for me, Dave Glowatz. Thanks for listening.